This is The Dial from Aspen Public Radio. In-depth conversations about current Roaring Fork Valley issues with the reporters who know them best. I'm Kristen Kay. It's May 31st. The employee housing program in Aspen is a benefit that sets us apart from other ski towns. It's one of the older employee housing programs in the U.S., and since its creation 40 years ago, it's become notoriously convoluted. It seems like everyone knows someone who's been entering the housing lottery for well over a decade. I mean, I know people who, without any hesitation, gave up their pets in order to move into a unit. And the application process can be pretty daunting. The Aspen-Pitkin County Housing Authority, or APSHA, runs the employee housing program, and they face their own complications. They have to work with both Pitkin County and Aspen, and those two entities can vote down anything proposed by APSHA. So it's actually a pretty big deal that new guidelines have been approved regarding asset caps for those applying for APSHA residences. The last time a change like this was adopted was 15 years ago. So, you know, about as long as some of you may have been waiting for employee housing. Sorry. Reporter Allison Bektesh covers housing issues. I sat down with her so she could talk about the new asset cap guidelines and also what the future might hold for APSHA and employee housing. So let's start with how applicants qualify for that employee housing.
Yeah, I think getting some definitions out on the table first is really good. APSHA uses a three-prong evaluation system to determine if an applicant qualifies for housing. The first is occupancy, how many people would be living in the space. Second is income, how much money you earn, and this has to be within Pitkin County year-round, at least 30 hours a week. The third is assets, how much other wealth you have to your name, and that's what we're dealing with here. An asset cap says you can't be worth more than a certain amount to qualify for a category of APSHA housing.
So what's changed with those asset cap guidelines?
Asset caps were recently raised, meaning applicants can essentially now have more in the bank. If you look over APSHA's 35-year history, asset caps have changed before, but not in the last 15 years. So if you look at those fluctuations, sometimes asset requirements went down, sometimes up. There's no real pattern to why and how much. So they also established a clear statement as to why assets are even taken into consideration and a clear equation for determining what asset caps should be. Now, that equation is applied differently in the different categories, but if you are in the lowest or poorest category of applicant, that's category one. Previously, you could have $100,000 net worth, now $130,000, whereas category five is kind of a midpoint category. The net worth was at $200,000. Now they can have $745,000 in holdings. Those seem arbitrary, but it's based on the home price in each category. I'll throw a chart up on our website for listeners to look at.
Okay, great. Is there any foreseeable backlash on this?
The reason we have asset caps is to protect against like trust funders or someone who's very wealthy but comes to Aspen and applies for government housing. APSHA Director Mike Kostrowski contends that the raised limits of assets don't get to the level of overly wealthy that we're trying to protect against, and that we have other checks and balances to make sure people who don't need the housing don't get it. You need to work full-time year-round. You can't own property locally. He says previously we were disincentivizing smart savings, which actually most of the country is bad at. So why would we add to that? If you're putting money away to send your kid to college or buy a vehicle or retirement, it may look like you have a ton of money in the bank. But that doesn't mean you can all of a sudden be on the free market in Aspen.
So true. So housing is such a big, complicated issue throughout the Roaring Fork Valley. So what else is happening with the Aspen-Pitkin County Housing Authority, with regional housing?
There's a lot boiling that I'm excited about. I might be a little ahead of myself here, but I actually think some big changes are coming. Some are out in the open. Next week, the APSHA board is holding a public hearing on changing the income categories for housing applicants. So that's kind of a step two in a whole reworking of APSHA qualifications. Now that asset caps have been determined, we'll go on to the other qualifying categories. Of course, the city's also entered into a public-private partnership, building three new housing complexes that will show up in town in a couple of years here. But there's also a little bit of behind-the-scenes activity that I have my eye on.
Ooh.
There's talk led by private citizens of establishing a regional housing authority. That's very much like the Regional Transportation Authority, RAFTA, where all Valley communities have joined together to support a bus system. So this would be all Valley communities joining together to create an affordable housing system. Hmm. Aspen has already said that they are out. They have their hands full enough. They've got a good thing going here just within their own jurisdiction. But Pitkin County is undecided. If Pitkin County joins the Regional Housing Authority, it's hard to imagine them also staying a part of APSHA. And there's other little cracks in that partnership that I've been reporting on over the years. Last year, the talk of securing public money for aging units was killed by a vote by the county, and they are philosophically at odds with the city. PITCO only wants urban development. They don't want any housing built on any county land, whereas I think the city understands that more affordable housing is an asset worth trading a little bit of government land for. If PITCO joins the regional group, then they all of a sudden have more urban centers to build in without compromising their goals of land conservation. My guess is we will see some of that conflict get addressed head on this year.
Interesting. So what would a breakup look like?
I'm so excited. You know, it'd be so messy. I actually do think this
like
might
like reality TV.
Yeah. It'll be the divorce of the century. The equivalent of like what a prenup would have been if this was a marriage would be in that intergovernmental agreement that was established 35 years ago when that housing authority was established. It's complicated because Pitkin County only gives 10% of the funding but gets 50% of the control. You know, they can single-handedly vote down something that the city and the APSHA board together want. So they have a lot of power for not a lot of upfront cost. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how all the previously established units would be divided. They kind of have joint control right now, even though the input wasn't the same and where the housing is mostly in the city. There would be a lot of complicated things, and I think both sides would have to think long and hard before that breakup really happens. In the end, it might not be beneficial, but I think it's coming.
This is The Dial from Aspen Public Radio. That was reporter Allison Bechtesh on new asset cap guidelines adopted by APSHA, the Aspen-Pitkin County Housing Authority, as well as some changes that might be in the works. Here's what else is going on in your valley. Local governments have long grappled with environmental issues, including work to lower greenhouse gas emissions, protect wilderness areas from overuse, keep water in the rivers, and more. For the first time in many local elected officials' tenure, these priorities are under threat from the national administration. Our environment reporter, Elizabeth Stewart-Severy, asked local officials how they are working to influence national policy, and that story is on our website now. And Glenwood Springs is preparing for the closure of the Grand Avenue Bridge in August. Crews downtown are repaving roughly a whole block. Midland Avenue will be the only way in and out of town, and so it will see an unprecedented amount of traffic. Towards the end of this week, crews will narrow Midland Avenue to one lane as they repave for probably about the next 2 weeks. The Grand Avenue Bridge is the largest infrastructure project on the Western Slope in 25 years, and it will affect us all, Up Valley and Down Valley businesses and residents. You've been listening to The Dial. I'm Kristen Kay. To hear more extended interviews or to listen to more local programs like Valley Roundup or Curated, go to aspenpublicradio.org.
Thank you.
That's your point.
I'm sorry.
All right. Thanks, Allison.
It's my pleasure.
I was terrible at that one, too.